My name is Nicole Braun, and you're listening to The Woo Woo Report, a weekly podcast where we celebrate the woo woo lifestyle and dig deeper to get our mystical questions answered. Hey, y'all. Today we are here with Chelsea and Jenny from Back to Broth. And I have been lucky enough to have sampled some of that delicious broth. I went with the vegan option and I just ran out last week. As we record this, we're currently, it's not a lockdown, but it is a self-quarantine time here in the United States. So so energy's a little weird today, but we're hoping to get this interview going to get everyone's mind off of things and learn some more about broth. So Jenny, why don't you start and tell us your sun sign and if you know your moon and rising.
Hello, I'm Jenny. My sun sign is Scorpio and my moon and rising are both Capricorn. And I'm very heavily Capricorn influenced.
Yeah, you are.
And Chelsea, what's your sun sign and moon and rising?
I am a Taurus sun and a Capricorn moon and a Virgo rising. So,
all have so much earth.
We are truly earth for me.
I don't have any earth. Well, I have like one planet in Capricorn, but I get very drawn, I guess, to people of earth sign.
Yeah.
In the chart. That's good though. Jenny, what is your favorite crystal and why?
This is such a fun question, but also really difficult for me because I feel like it's changing. But currently, I'd say I have this pretty big chunk of rose quartz, and I've always felt like that crystal in particular has always helped with my heart chakra or like anxiety. Like just bringing it in bed with me has helped me so much at night when I can't sleep. But other runner-ups, tourmaline and labradorite.
Nice.
Are you just like hugging rose quartz right now?
Basically.
You're like, maybe I can infuse it, put it in the bone broth while it's cooking and infuse it with some
You've had that conversation before.
Yeah.
I would 100% I would buy that. Absolutely. Yay. Yeah.
To keep our crystals all around our pots and everything. That's just, you know, love it.
Yeah. Chelsea, what is your favorite crystal?
Also a hard question because I feel like it's ever evolving, like just depending on what's going on. And I also do love to put rose quartz just like on my heart. I'm sitting here right now with a big sodalite chunk that was chosen for me. It's circular and just the way that it is really grounds me and I think helps me with like more of like throat chakra coming into your power energy a little bit or like expressing your truth, which is definitely a really big theme for me in my life. And also really drawn to red jasper recently too because my roots have just been like needing some love.
I have some root chakra crystals that I work with, but the smaller pieces, for some reason, like the bigger pieces, I have a hard time finding them. I feel like a lot of stores I go into don't sell huge pieces of things for your root chakra, which I find surprising. Yeah. But
it is actually.
Jenny, what is a daily ritual you do?
Napping. it's become more apparent to me in the past few years how much I need to honor that body cue of when I need to put myself down for a nap, because just even like 30 minutes or sometimes even 20 minutes or 15, just being able to close my eyes fully and just sometimes I'll go into REM sleep really quick, but I've had a lot of moments where I felt a lot of energy gather in my crown chakra. And then I take a nap and I'll like dream about doing some astral mission and then I'll wake up feeling so much better. So I don't take my naps lightly. I just got a lot of work to do in the nap world. And that's just something I make sure that I make time for. I know some people never take naps and I'm just a person who really needs to.
I'm so inspired by your nap life.
Thank you.
I'm envious of your nap life.
Yes.
Chelsea, what is a daily ritual you do?
You know, I think the way that I can sum it up is just kind of remembering my breath and like becoming aware of my breath and my body. And that looks different just depending on like where I am and what I'm going through, but really just taking the time to like be aware of my breathing. And I like to do some different type of breath work, but it doesn't always just, you know, it ebbs and it flows, and it's not necessarily like a disciplined daily practice, but it's just like really becoming aware of my body. Yeah.
It's good. So we'll start with Jenny. If you could describe, or unless you two have had a conversation to describe your mm-hmm. broth in three words, what would they be?
We just took a business class. Well, we had a business class in our master's program, but we took another one at Mercy Corps in January. So this is pretty fresh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we came up with local
magic,
nourishment. I think we changed something on our branding sign though, right?
Oh yeah. Local organic and
herbal. Yeah. But, local organic herbal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also like to call it magic meat tea, which was my first thought when you asked that question.
Yeah. But magic meat tea is three words.
Yeah, exactly. Magic meat tea. But yeah, definitely magical, definitely nourishment.
Oh my God. Yeah.
We've done a lot of brain dumps, and so many words can describe it that mm-hmm. are fun and like community oriented. Mm-hmm. But a lot of ones that we use when we talk to people are like magic, local, herbal, and meat tea.
Yeah. So just really warming yeah. and like traditional and ancient and yeah. ancestral. And I think that's a big part of something that's felt through our broth as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about the history of broth? Cause it's, I mean, I don't even know how, I mean, it's been around what feels like forever to me,
yeah. Exactly.
But it's not, but it feels like it's made this sort of reemergence of how helpful it is for our bodies and how special it is, because, you know, when I was growing up, broth was just an ingredient in a lot of ways. It wasn't something you would use yeah. to just drink on its own. It was always an ingredient that my mom would pick up at the store or whatever it was. Miso isn't technically a broth, right? Because there's other stuff in it.
Yeah, miso is like the miso paste, basically.
Okay. Because I was like, I drank a lot of miso soup growing up. But yeah, broth was just not something that was really this, I guess, highlighted spotlight mm-hmm. thing. And it's made this, you know.
Having a moment, for sure. Broth is yeah. having a moment.
Yeah, it's definitely having a moment. And I would just love to know, and I'm sure my audience would love to know some history about it. And then, you know, how it's used in any sort of ritual healing or magical witchy stuff, because that's my whole jam and the whole jam of the show. And so, you know, how can we use meat tea in our ritual witchy stuff?
Absolutely. Yeah. Broth is just, you know, across every tradition, it's they've simmered bones of meat and fish and veggies, basically no matter where you've been across time all over the world. So there's definitely that ancestral component. And I think even Jenny and I, like standing over our pot, like actually just stirring our pot, like we can really feel that energy.
Yeah.
So yeah. I know Jenny likes to tell the story of the restaurant.
Oh, yeah. In the 18th century, a man that I don't remember his name, but it's not important. He actually,
in France somewhere,
he actually started the first restaurant. And this was because he was serving broths and soups out of, you know, this place, and he called it a restaurant, and the word restaurant means to restore. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the reason I like to tell people that is just because of how much broth has been infused into society, especially just starting restaurants in general, and the meaning to restore, mm-hmm. to bring back to life. I think the man said something like, if you have troubles in your tummy or something, mm-hmm. Come to me and let me basically heal you. So definitely. It has such a strong root in society, especially, I mean, in that Western culture too, but like Chelsea was saying, it's so embedded in ancient traditions where in villages, it was considered quote unquote the first fast food because they would be having these huge cauldrons of sorts with scraps used from, you know, the week's meals that just for days, adding in more pieces and scraps. So when hunters would come and visit a village, that would be the first thing that they could actually serve people who were visiting because it would be ready there. And it would be like super nutritious and very satisfying, especially for someone who's visiting and traveling mm-hmm. Through a village.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there anything with history that you found with it being used in, because I mean, tea is a common, you know, we talk about in all these witchy groups that I'm in and, you know, my other witchy friends and things like that. And I'm going to use the word witchy because I don't think everyone does identify as a witch, but I guess mystical, mystical friends, all my mystical friends, like, you know, there's a lot of herbal stuff with herbs and tea and making tea. Do you know if there's any history with broth being used in the sense of, I guess, any sort of like mystical gatherings or ceremonial stuff like that? Because I know about like, there's a lot of tea stuff, but I don't know about broth, but to me that would make sense yeah. and be yeah. more sustainable as, I guess, a party food as opposed yeah. to tea.
You know, I think that broth really captures just like the living elements very well, the elements of the earth, as far as like the resourcefulness, you know, kind of just like piggybacking off of the history. It's like we're really using the full animal. And I think that kind of like brings us back to our roots. So just as broth being a liquid vessel that carries energy alone, like that can be used in a lot of like magical like spell work and just tradition and celebration. We have created a broth ceremony of our own, actually. Yeah. So it's funny that you bring that up.
Yeah, like we've actually taken it upon ourselves yeah. to like create a ritual mm-hmm. and a ceremony because we do really appreciate the intention and power of, for example, tea ceremonies. Right. So when we started this business, Chelsea and I really, really admired that. And we're just like, how do we do that with the broth? Like, mm-hmm. we just made it up.
Yeah, we totally just made up our yeah. broth ceremony.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'd love to walk you through a little bit of what that looks like if you're curious.
Yeah, super yeah. curious.
Yeah, so essentially our broth ceremony, we gather in circle. We've done it in groups of like small groups and up to maybe 15 or so. We have a, you know, a grounding practice, an opening meditation essentially, and then we have a little pouring ritual that basically honors ourselves, and then we pour a little bit in our neighbor's cup, and that just honors how we need each other. Essentially, we do gratitude. Mm-hmm. What else?
Each one we usually do like a different self-love activity at the end of the circle, just mm-hmm. to really have people interact with each other in the circle to instill a sense of community and connection. What we've really realized right now. For example, our last broth ceremony, we do them at every last Thursday of the month. Our last one, the broth wasn't hot enough. Like Chelsea and I were like kind of scrambling and, you know, mm-hmm. us wanting it to be seamless and go as best as it can. We, you know, behind the scenes, we're like, oh gosh, like things aren't working.
It's in a Capricorn moon.
It's in a Capricorn moon.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, you know, everyone comes to us and just basically is explaining how much they appreciate just gathering in general and the power mm-hmm. of community and just like sitting in circle mm-hmm. and how magical that can feel and just how pure and powerful it is just to sit with people in a positive intention and expressing gratitude. So it's really more than the broth at that point.
Mm-hmm. Although
broth is the vessel.
Yeah.
And we work through the broth to
bring the wits of broth
to bring people together essentially.
And that's are you going to be doing it this month because of the
yeah.
lockdown? Because right. this quarantine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to decide this week, although it's looking towards having to just shift it. We don't want to cancel it entirely. We're just probably going to move it to like a live stream online and make it entirely free for anybody who wants to join. They don't have to have our broth with them. They can drink tea or whatever they want to bring, to really have people connect, especially during this time right now.
Yeah. It's so important right now. Like, it's truly such strange times. And I think that technology is a really amazing way of connecting us during times of essentially, you know, social distancing and quarantine and just uncertainty. So,
yeah, I totally agree. So can you tell us a little bit about each of your personal journey with broth? And I know that you met in school together, correct?
Yes.
And so I'd love to know each of your journey with it, how it's impacted your life, and why you chose to make a business of it. Jenny, let's start with you on this.
So I used to live in LA, and I have an autoimmune condition, psoriasis. And in LA, I went to a Western doctor there and got a systemic pill, and all my symptoms went away within 2 weeks. It was super fast, and I was so happy, and I had that under control for 6 months until I would miss a couple of doses, and then the symptoms would come back twice as bad. So I realized there's something more going on and just started on this food as medicine journey and really wanted to get to the root of what was going on in my body. And then I ended up finding a woman in LA who does broth. Her name's Lindsay, and she does Owl. It's One Whole Life, and her business is just beautiful, and it's flourished so much since she started. And I got her veggie broth because I used to be a vegan at the time. And so that's what initially inspired me. Then I moved home, and I started school, and I just was not really resonating with the clinical route of school. Science is great, and I honor and respect it for its power and purpose. I just felt way more drawn to intuitive eating and mindful eating. And so I think when I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with this master's degree, I just felt I kept getting pushed towards this broth idea. And then Chelsea and I met, and we, you know, one of our first conversations, we talked about broth, and it kind of just
all came together, like, in very serendipitous ways.
It did.
Honestly. Like, there's not even one direct path to the broth. Like, sometimes I question how we got here.
But,
I definitely was drawn to broth just because of the magic of it. I think something about just like the big stock pot full of herbs and chicken feet. And, you know, Jenny and I, like she said, we wanted something tangible that we can bring our community. And I think we're really trying to just be of service and offer people a means of like loving themselves more deeply. Essentially, I feel like that's very much at the root of what we're trying to do. And through relationships with food and through how we nourish our bodies, I think that that's just something we were drawn to. So it just kind of came together.
Yeah, I think it was about 6 months before we graduated, and we both we didn't know what we were going to do. And I actually had made the logo for Back to Broth a year before that, just randomly, because it was just popping into my mind and my existence. And Chelsea approached me, and she just asked if we should partner up, if we could do this together. And I was just like,
we're in a business class, a business and nutrition class. And we just like took it really seriously. And we're like, all right, we made this business plan. Mm-hmm. Like, let's make it happen.
And the best part is that Chelsea and I both at that time did not resonate nor line up with the traditional masculine way of how business has been done.
Yeah.
And we both don't see ourselves as business people. So
it's really our first venture together.
We're asking for a lot.
And even you can feel that in our business partnership agreement. Like, it's just this like sterile looking document, but at the heart of it, it's like, you know, embody principles that we admire of the sacred masculine and the sacred feminine. And, you know, just like, we're really trying to embody just heart-based business and kind of just like throwing a wrench in what traditionally has been of business.
Yeah, and one last thing I'll add to that is when we're at farmers markets or events, there's been more times than not that people will come up to us and say like, oh, who like asking us like, who your boss is, or one time this one guy asked this if it was a school project. Mm-hmm. I know.
Business? Excuse me?
I was like, no, we have an LLC. No, this is not a school project. Yeah. And just seeing two pretty, we are in vessels that look feminine, mm-hmm. and we present more feminine dominant. So mm-hmm. when we're carrying around these heavy ass pots and like doing something that looks really masculine, I love just like switching the paradigm mm-hmm. when people come up to our booth and we're like, no, we own this business. We sit in the kitchen for 13 hours and mm-hmm. make 150 quarts of broth and like pour out the broth ourselves. Like we are there doing it.
Yeah.
at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So now I have to know, so you're in there for 13 hours. I've attempted to make a broth once and I really enjoyed it. It was a whole day thing. I think I did it when I was pregnant and in my like nesting phase, or I was like recently postpartum, so I like didn't leave the house anyways, so it was the perfect thing. I remember it taking a long time, but I just used like one of those nowhere near probably the size pot y'all use, but like the, you know, I just use one of the big pots. Do you have special pots that you use to make this, or giant, I mean, I'm a little rogue. Rogue right now, but I'm curious about the pots and then how you source your ingredients for this.
Yeah, the pots. Yeah,
great question.
Yeah, I'll talk about the pots. The pots are huge. So we work out at the Mercado kitchen. Shout out to Mercado. We love them.
Mercado, yes.
Love them so much. I think they provide all of these big pots for us that we can use. And I think they're about 80 quarts, but we do about 50 quarts in each of them because once you put the ingredients in, we did just find and come upon a piece of equipment because Chelsea and I are not from the food industry. We don't know these things. Like we go into the commercial kitchen and we don't really know like what these machines are.
We're truly figuring it out as we go. Like this has just been such a learning experience. Yeah. We talk about how we could be on a reality show.
Oh my God, it'd be amazing.
The things that we just get into just as far as even our, you know, health inspections and
all sorts of learning.
Back end things that go into like operating this food business.
Yeah. I was there one night. Oh, it was, so we do the 13 hour shift, but we break it up into parts and that goes overnight. So when it gets to be around 11 or so, it gets a little weird. And then 2 a.m. it gets weird. Before one of those weird periods,
times,
I swear this man came in. I'd never seen him. I think he was like, he was just like a hologram or something. I don't know. I've never seen him. He was an angel. Came in and he looked at the pots and he was like, do you know you can use that thing over there? And he pointed at this machine that I literally had no idea what it was. And I was like, no, what is that? And he's like, it holds 100 quarts and it's motorized and it will tilt. It's a tilt skillet.
Tilting skillet.
It'll tilt
a tilting
the broth skillet out for you. Like, so you don't have to do it with your own muscles. And I was just like, who are, anyways, truly it an doubled angel. Our volume.
Broth angel.
That It doubled our volume. That day. And so currently that's what we're working with, the pot situation, and very grateful to have. And that's one of the things that I'm so grateful to be in a commissary kitchen is that because there are other people around, mm-hmm. they come in and they're just so friendly and like,
yeah, it's been really supportive. For sure.
Yeah.
Ingredient sourcing.
Oh yeah. As far as ingredient sourcing. So this is actually a really big part of why we do what we do, just really trying to connect the community to the local farmers there. Yeah. We just think that there's a lot of, healing internally and externally, as far as, just supporting the regional ecosystems. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but it's crazy. It's hard. Like we are sourcing herbs from some farmers and veggies from other farmers and chickens from other farmers. So our chicken farm is amazing. They're called Marion Acres. It's a small family owned farm out in Hillsborough. And they just do everything the way that it should be done. Like truly pasture raised. They like move the little pasture each day and happy chickens.
Happy chickens and happy farmers.
Happy farmers.
And that's like what really, every time I go there, I can just feel the integrity and passion behind their work.
Yeah.
And it just, for me to know that we can support, I just remember being in school and learning about the food system and like farmers and just how much they go through especially in this day and age, of how much strife just to be able to create food for us. Mm-hmm. And then you put on this other layer, creating food that's sustainable and farming in a regenerative way that gives back to the environment, mm-hmm. which Marin Acres does. So I just was so, it was like such a full circle moment because we actually did a tour there while we were in school.
And yeah, then, we got connected to them through our program, which was really amazing.
And then we reconnected with them after for our business to mm-hmm. source from them. So it was a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Can you tell us the difference between your bone broth and your vegan broth? I tried the vegan broth. I'm not vegan. Jenny, I know you and I talked about this before. Ever since I got certified in Reiki, like my craving for meat has just intensified and I'm still navigating my way through all of that, which is funny because they say, I guess a big thing when you get the Reiki placement is you don't crave meat and the exact opposite happened, but mm-hmm. I still am trying to eat as much plant-based as possible. So I got the vegan one. It was super duper delicious, but I'd love to know, you know, obviously one is vegan and one is not, but what goes into each one and what are the benefits, I guess, of each one? Because each one's going to have different things in it.
Yeah, definitely. Our bone broth is more like that was our original recipe. Like that's the OG, our chicken and herb bone broth. Like, and that is really like the benefits you hear about broth as far as the collagen, like that's where you're going to get that because that's what we use as far as chicken feet, chicken necks,
heads,
chicken heads and carcasses. And like we talked about, you know, a little bit before, just like that resourcefulness of truly using the whole part of these animals. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of like the main thing about that one. It's kind of has that chicken noodle soup for the soul feeling about it. Mm-hmm. And then the vegan broth, we just kind of put that out this month or in February, but, we just wanted to have something to offer people that didn't want to eat meat. So we did, mushroom and seaweed.
Mm-hmm. And especially in Portland, this demographic too, a lot of people, like when we released this, we were so excited because we just felt like we could offer to so many more people who want to support a local business.
Yeah.
But with the seaweed and shroom, we just wanted to make something that was savory and really hit the spot.
Yeah.
Someone who eats plant-based, it's hard to find those things, especially with that umami flavor.
Umami
flavor. And we're still like, we've come very close. Chelsea's been the master broth master on the vegan and figuring out our exact method of making it. So we're just mm-hmm. we're currently super close to figuring out how to really bring out the flavors of the mushrooms, which are shiitake, reishi, and cremini. And then the seaweed is kombu. And then we have astragalus, calendula, mm-hmm. thyme, mm-hmm. onions, and garlic, rosemary.
Yeah. This broth is so medicinal. Like, it's crazy as far as just those herbs in there. Really great for the immune system. And that's kind of like, we just wanted to be able to, I guess, create something that wasn't meat, but that could be very medicinal for people.
And then you should tell them the herbs in the chicken one.
Oh yeah, the herbs in the chicken one. We have nettles, rosemary, sage, ginger, thyme, bay leaf.
Yeah.
I feel like our broths are very, like there's many layers to our broth.
Yeah, and when people ask what's in this, it's, we always take a deep breath because we're like, okay, here we go through this list because we really do want to pack a punch with it. And Chelsea's always been into herbs, and that was initially what really inspired me to want to do something like this, because mm-hmm. I felt like the medicinal, therapeutic, and spiritual power of herbs partnered with a broth is just so magical. I remember recently reading, because we love rosemary, I remember mm-hmm. reading about how rosemary can be used as spiritual protection. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, that makes so much sense. Like, there's a huge rosemary bush in front of my house. Like, mm-hmm. I love smelling it. I just want to be protected at all times.
That quote, the old quote, that's like, where rosemary thrives, the woman rule, mm-hmm. which is a thing. Mm-hmm. And it's so true. And we feel that. And we infuse that magic into our broth, even with our like little flower petals and our calendula broth mm-hmm. too. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to try the bone broth one. Because I'm just like super curious. And since I'm not technically vegan, you know, I'm one of those annoying people, right? Who like is always asking my friends to make me vegan options or always being like, let's go eat at the vegan place when I'm not actually fully vegan. And then when people see me eat, like, you know, craving for meat, and they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, no, yeah, I'm not.
Our bone broth is a gateway, we like to say. Just to bridge that gap between like vegan and meat eating. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people like bone broth is a lot, oftentimes their go-to to kind of bridge
Definitely. And I would like to say, like, Nicole, I totally used to be that person too, especially as I was transitioning out of being, you know, eating more meat, but still wanting to eat plants, and then going through this program and recognizing how important it is to listen to your body. And really what drove me to be a vegan was that I wanted to support the well-being of the animals. Mm-hmm. And then coming upon this thought of and experiencing in my physical body that I wasn't necessarily harmonious within myself and the choices I was making, and saying, if I'm not here myself, then how can I, you know, help the animals eventually, you know, in the end. So that's just one piece of it. But also I would like to share that, like, one thing that really drove me to eat meat again was recognizing, I feel like this point in the world, as a collective, as many people can feel, it's going through an entire energy shift and consciousness. And I had this moment of deciding, like, is veganism, and this is for me personally, just, and everyone has their own personal truth. For me personally, is veganism what resonates with me and how I can like feel that I'm making an impact. And I decided that by healing the soils of the earth, which to me symbolize the microbiome of our gut, because the health of the soils directly affect the health of your gut health. And the way that the soils have been treated with farming today is just atrocious. Mm-hmm. And recognizing there are farmers out there doing regenerative farming with proper animal husbandry, for some reason that just like clicked for me.
Yeah, bringing it back to the soil.
Yeah,
for sure.
Totally. So that's kind of like, I always just like, I'm still like amazed at my journey. I was like, I was a vegan and now I eat meat. And like, that's my
it's been a
business.
Journey.
Yeah,
for sure.
Totally.
For sure.
Okay, so I always have to, before we, you know, talk about your website, Instagram, and all that, question I ask all of my guests, because I'm obsessed with ghosts, is, do you believe in ghosts, and do you have a ghost story you can share?
This question.
This question is so great.
And who wants to go first? I'm not even going to direct it. Who wants to share their ghost story first?
Do I believe in ghosts? I think the first thing that I want to say is, I what is a ghost?
Right.
I'm kind of just talking out loud to myself right now.
Right. I have the same exact thought.
What are we constituting as a ghost? And I think in my experience, what I feel like a ghost is what first comes to mind and to heart are just moments where you feel something supernatural as far as like another energy around you. And that's pretty vague, but now I'm thinking of like other experiences I've had, I'm like, I don't know if that was a ghost or an alien or maybe both.
I do a lot of like astral traveling too, so
yeah. I think as far as if we're gonna say ghosts in the sense of just like spirits or souls that are expressing themselves in ways, I definitely have felt, I'd say in more ways that like people who've passed on have like expressed themselves through music to me in a lot of ways. And that just, and especially like the songs that played at their funerals, will always come on randomly on the radio. So that's just one way that I've experienced that. And then what was the other part of the question?
Just if you had a specific ghost story to share.
Oh, that was, okay. Yeah. I do believe in ghosts. I do think probably a majority of people might see them as bad, but I don't think they are.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to say about that. Like, just the negative connotation of ghosts. When is it just like, I think of ghosts as just spirits.
Right. Like, not scary.
Yeah. You know. And I definitely think of that as more of like communicating with the dead, which is essentially what you're speaking of. And I've definitely, you know, I don't know. When I was a kid, I could have sworn that there was a ghost in my closet.
There probably was.
Yeah, little girl like bouncing a ball in my closet. Like, I swear.
Okay, well, the fact that you know she's bouncing a ball.
Right. Like, I can still hear it, like the creaking in the wall. It's like, yeah, it's a little girl bouncing the ball. And that was just like a belief that I had. Yeah. So maybe that was a ghost. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's just been a lot of, you know, I think part of the grief process is definitely like how your relationship shifts with energy as it transforms and as far as like spirited energy. So I believe in ghosts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you believe in ghosts?
Yes. Yeah. Of course. So yeah, I grew up with them everywhere, and even the house I live in now, one day I saw around 3 or 4 in the afternoon, I saw one walk right through my living room, and it's like the clearest apparition I've ever seen in my entire life. I wasn't seeing it that clear, especially during the day. Right. I no way to debunk it. It wasn't like, I mean, looked everywhere. It actually brought me a lot of calm. Like, I used to be someone like, even though I believe in it and I grew up around it, I still was that girl that's like scared to go in the basement at night and like do the laundry. But now I don't, because I'm like, I know they're there, and I can't, you know, the ghost that walked through my living room, he was not aware of me. He like just walked through the house, like the walls weren't there or anything. And so, you know, he didn't even really want anything from me per se.
Right. Sometimes their energy can be very neutral. You know? Right.
Yeah.
Be threatening.
Just, yeah, like, yeah. There wasn't
like, hey, how you doing today, ghost?
Yeah. It just was very matter of fact. And I told my husband, I even called him work. I was like, hey, ghost just walked through our house. And he was like, what? And I was like, oh. He's like, why are you so calm? I'm like, I think it's because he didn't do anything, and like it made me feel instead of making me feel like insane, it made me feel sane because of all the other stuff I experienced my entire life. To just see something that clear and real in so many ways, I was like, wow, that is not like a shadow out of the corner of my eye or a sense or feeling. It was like, what the hell was that?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So yeah, I'm still. Okay. So where can we find you online? Shout out your Instagram, your Facebook, how people can order the broth. Yeah, I had
our website is www.backtobroth.co, just co, not .com. That costs too much to buy. So we're just .co. And then our Instagram is backtobroth, and same with Facebook. And yeah, if you want to tell them about our delivery.
Yeah, we deliver around Portland. I'm not sure when this podcast is going to be coming out, but who knows what's happening. Yeah, lots up in the air. We all need to take care of our immune system, so broth is great for that. We like to, yeah, we're delivering all around Portland, and we're at some farmers markets. Going to be at PSU Farmers Market in April. Hope to be at some festivals this summer as well. Yeah, just want to bring our nourishment to the community.
Totally. And if this airs before the last Thursday of March, please join us for our virtual broth ceremony.
For sure.
As I'm feeling that is going to be what's going to happen. So just find more information on that probably on our Instagram soon here.
And so that's going to be on, sorry, you said March 26th?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, this will air before then. So anyone listening, virtual or in person. Broth ceremony. I'm interested. I'm gonna join that. Hopefully, if my toddler cooperates for me. Always up in the air with that. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and for teaching us about broth. Something that I kind of feel like all of us should be more aware about. But you know, everything comes back around. It's like anything. When people call something New Age, even though it's been around for thousands and thousands of years, I feel like broth is very similar.
Exactly.
Very true.
Yeah. Now is the the awareness of Brock is finally alive. So we're grateful. Yeah, we're grateful to be of service in this way. And yeah, if you need an immune boosting, a magical elixir, and you're in Portland, we're here.
We're your people. We're your local witches. Yes. Yes.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of The Woo Woo Report. Make sure to follow me on Instagram at Nicole Baron, NicoleBurron, to stay up to date on everything woo woo.